The day started out bleak, and it got bleaker. Slim unloaded the rest of the hay in the stack lot and did some patching on a section of barbed wire fence, but I could see that his heart wasn't in it. The light had gone out of his eyes, and he dragged himself through his chores like a scarecrow. I followed around behind him, carrying my own share of burdens. We were a sad pair, Slim and I. I don't know where Drover went during all this, but he just vanished without a trace. The last thing in the world Slim wanted to do that day was take Miss Viola to the dance at Lipscomb, but he had promised. We quit work around 5 and drove down to Slim's shack. He cleaned up and changed clothes, and when he came outside, I was waiting on the porch. Our eyes met, and he said, "It hurts, don't it?" "Yes, more than I could express."
"You want to go to Lipscomb?"
Actually, I couldn't think of anything I wanted to do. But going to Lipscomb might be better than brooding all night on the porch. "Sure."
"You'll have to ride in the back. I don't want you stinking up the cab for Viola."
I didn't care. I no longer felt worthy of Miss Viola's love, and I didn't have any desire to argue about my smell. We picked up Viola at her parents' house down the creek. In the voice of a beaten man, Slim told her the whole story. She didn't say much, just nodded and gave him a pat on the arm. It was a long, silent 30-mile drive to Lipscomb, a tiny village that consisted of a few stores on the town square and maybe 50 houses. We parked on the square, and Slim and Viola got out. Viola said,
"Try to cheer up. Let's dance and have a little fun."
"I'll try," said Slim. But he was so lost in dark thoughts that he didn't even tell me to stay in the back of the pickup.
They walked across the street to the outdoor dance platform where dozens of couples were waltzing and two-stepping to Frankie McWhorter's fiddle music. Viola took Slim by the arm and dragged him onto the dance floor, and they vanished into the crowd. I curled up in the back of the pickup and tried to lose myself in sleep, but the sounds of music and laughter kept me awake. I stood up and looked around. Well, I might as well take a walk and check out the sights of downtown Lipscomb. Moping in the back of the pickup wasn't going to change anything. I'd heard it said that Lipscomb had more wild turkeys than people, but tonight it was hopping, filled with country folks who'd come to town for the big dance. I was walking down the street, trying to avoid getting stepped on, when suddenly I stopped dead in my tracks. On the wooden porch in front of Beeson's Saddle Shop, I saw a monkey dancing the Texas two-step in front of a crowd of people. He was dressed in a cute little cowboy costume and held out a tin cup as he moved his bare feet in time with San Antonio Rose. The crowd laughed and clapped and dropped money into the cup. A monkey? On an average weekend in the Texas Panhandle, how many monkeys could you expect to see? Not many. All at once, I felt myself becoming very suspicious. I moved in for a closer look. My gaze swept across the crowd until I found the missing piece of the puzzle. Almost invisible, standing in the shadows on the edge of the crowd, a tall man with cold, dark eyes watched the show. He observed it all with a silent smirk. Willie. We had our man right there in downtown Lipscomb, and all I had to do was get the word to Slim. I raced down the street towards the dance platform, darting between legs and dodging the feet of strolling couples. I had reached the steps leading up to the dance floor when someone reached out and grabbed me.
"Hey, Pooch, you can't go up there."
I looked around and saw, yipes, I had just been nabbed by Deputy Kyle. I didn't want to show any disrespect for the law, but I was on a very important mission and I didn't have time to explain it. He tried to hold me back, but I fought and struggled and finally broke out of his grasp. I raced up the steps and, ouch, got trampled by a pair of cowboy boots.